Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. Hi guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. Everybody's asking me, why do you call it a shark eye show? Very, very simple. So I'll tell you the story how I got the name. I was basically fishing for one of my courses, meaning a name for actually my first course that I have created. And I got a bunch of names there. I got like a bunch of names and like a whole list of names. And one of them, obviously the name in the end that was chosen for that course was the Launchpad, because it's for beginners. It's like the concept of that course is to have people starting their commercial real estate career within 60 days or in less than 60 days. That's the concept. So we called it CRE Launchpad course, which is much more appropriate than Shark Eye. But one of the names was CRE Shark Eye. And I said, that is a cool name for my podcast. So I said, okay, cool. And that's how it came about. And that is something. And why is it really shark eye? What's the concept around or behind shark eye? Shark eye is when you look at a deal, you need shark eyes. I don't know who said that. I'm not a scientist, and I have no expertise of animals or mammals or I don't know sea or fish, whatever, whales. I have no idea. You know, my son is looking at all those shows. You know, National Geographic types of shows. I love to look at the predators, how they prey, how they eat, meaning I get inspiration to go and get, you know, I'm nuts, I guess. But anyways, the concept is shark eye, I guess they have special vision. And the idea is that we need to have special vision in commercial real estate when we actually go and look at a deal. When we look at a deal, we have to have a special deep shark eye show. And I remember I had a meeting with one of a colleague that has a big, big, big retail fund. And I remember he told me, the devil is in the detail, which is pretty crazy, but that's the way it is. And that's our motto when we actually go for acquisitions or we go to do underwriting on a show, on a deal. We actually go and dive deep into the numbers, into the situation, into the legals, and you need shark eyes. Because let's say if your attorney, for example, misses, right? One or two words. He doesn't read properly the agreement, okay? The operating agreement, whatever you're actually dealing with. Or he's not reading properly, or let's say you're title person is not doing their job properly. They're not reading between the lines. They're not doing what they have to do. You're in trouble. We're in trouble, right? We need those professionals to actually go through it. If your analyst is not, or you are not looking between the lines, you're not asking, even if your analyst has shark eyes, right? Whatever it's called. You are not looking deep into the, you know, to this aspect. You're going to miss something. You're going to be in major trouble. That's why I called it that way. And that's why it makes sense for commercial real estate. That's why it's called the CRE Shark Eye Show. Now I answered. Whoever asked me, you have the answer. Okay, good. Now that we established that, what I want to move on is to speak about something else. And sometimes I don't have guests in the show because sometimes I actually save it. I have a whole list of things to speak about. And I try to keep it in the 20-minute range. Because when we have guests, I try to, it usually gets to the anywhere between the 30, 40 minutes up to an hour. And I try to keep it not more than an hour usually when we have guests, but when I speak, I try to keep it 20 minutes. And today what I want to do is I want to speak about the concept of focus or over-focus versus defocus, okay? We all know the concept of focus and the concept of defocus, okay? Let me elaborate a little bit about it. Let's say you want to come to your investors, you have a deal, you want to come to your investors and say, look, I have a deal. And let's say it's a retail deal, you're looking at a shopping center, et cetera. They're going to ask you how many shopping centers you've done or you were involved in, if you raised capital, if you went to an acquisition, if you developed it, if you repositioned whatever you've done with a shopping center. And then you come and say, no, actually, I'm a multifamily guy and this is my first deal. It doesn't sound too promising, even though it could be a great deal. But the fact of the matter is that the person who leads the deal, or if you are looking at a deal, even if you're not leading the deal, if you're the LP, the limited partner, the investment, the fund, the family office, call it whatever you want, and it's the first time you're looking at such a deal, it doesn't give too much confidence to investors. Rightfully so. It doesn't give too much confidence to investors. And the concept is that, for example, if you say, okay, I'm an office guy, and then you do retail, or you do multifamily, and then you do office, or you do development, and then you do some core plus income producing, or you're doing also management, and also development, and also this and that, and you are a relatively small to medium-sized corporation company, and you're not this large corporation that has divisions, etc., because then, obviously, it is definitely possible. But it doesn't sound too promising. It doesn't sound focused. And that is pretty much known, right? That is known. And it's true for any other business. The person who comes and has a shipping business or whatever, they're dealing with e-commerce in some sort, and all of a sudden they say, hey, I want to open a restaurant. Are you aware of the food business, the margins, what it takes, and the type of management skills that you need to have in order to run a food business, a restaurant, or whatever? If you don't have it, then it's complete defocus. Everybody knows that. So what am I getting to? I want to talk about over-focus versus defocus. Because we know focus versus defocus. Defocus is not good. Focus is great, but it's over-focus. Give an example, and I'm going to try to make it accurate, and if not, I'm going to try to give another example, okay? Because let's say you do retail. Let's say you do retail deals, but you do only single tenant, lease for single, triple net single tenant. And then you have a fantastic opportunity to have a deal with two tenants. Okay? And it's not exactly triple net, it's double net, or whatever it is. Are you going to do this? And it's a fantastic deal. Sometimes it's over-focus, especially nowadays. Let's say, for example, you do office, and your tenants are usually certain types of tenants, or you know office in a certain area. But then you get an opportunity in a relatively different area, but it's still close enough and still manageable in terms of your learning curve. You can actually grasp it. You can chew that. It's fine. But you feel it's defocus. That's already, in my opinion, it's over-focus. Why? Because you need to know also when to pivot. Sometimes the pivot has to be moving from a whole industry entirely. And I spoke about this. We saw a titan of offices move to single-family homes. It is happening. That's pivot. That's a very radical pivot. Okay? But when you want to stay in your industry, you want to stay in your asset class, you want to stay in the type of deals that you do, core plus, you want to do development, whatever you do, within those divisions, you have different types of deals. And I believe that over-focus can kill a business if you don't see the trends that are coming. If you don't look around you, If you don't see that something happened to the economy, something happened to the asset class that you were focused on, if you don't see this, you're in trouble. You're in major trouble. And I think the biggest lesson and the biggest takeaway we got is from the pandemic. Because the pandemic put us in a way that we always said, you have to be focused, you have to be focused, you have to be focused. Came the pandemic and said, okay, your industry is dead. Your specific asset class is in trouble. Your specific engagement, type of business that you are engaged in is not doing great. There's a hardship there. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to tell yourself, no, I'm going to stick to it because that's my thing. I'm going to stay in New York City because I'm always in New York City. Are you going to look outside? If there are opportunities in New York City, good, stay there. But if that, let's say there aren't, and you're at a place where there nothing's going on and you have the capital and you want to invest and you want to get in, sometimes the calling is to pivot. I can tell you this much. And the story goes that in the past, I had to pivot from being a teacher. If you want to know my story, you can go to the first episode. And I think the second or third episode to hear my story of moving from being a teacher to moving to real estate and then moving to commercial real estate. It's another episode. But in short, that is a major, major pivot because I had to do it. Okay? It was a fact. And I wanted to get a commercial real estate, so I had to pivot again because that's what I wanted, and I went for it. And then it happened again, just a year ago, because I was a full-time CRE commercial real estate guy with an entire focus on commercial real estate. If you would tell me that I would run a show and a podcast, I would laugh in your face. I would laugh in your face. I would tell you it's not happening. Because I listen to podcasts and they're cool, but I have no time for it. If you told me that I will be recording myself doing courses and being in touch with college students and people who are young men and women that basically want to learn commercial real estate or people who want to invest in commercial real estate and be in touch with me to learn about it, I'll tell you I have no time for it. If they're investors, active investors, accredited, etc. Okay, speak to me. I have something. I don't have something, but otherwise don't have time for it. I don't have time to mentor. I don't have time to teach. I was busy. But all of a sudden, the world changed. The world changed. And all of a sudden, we are home. And all of a sudden, we don't have what we had. And all of a sudden, we are not in the same position that we had. And all of a sudden, we can't leave the house. And all of a sudden, our properties are not performing the way they should have. Some of them maybe are great, but some of them maybe are not. Right? Everyone has a different story. In my case, it was more mobility. And the way to do different things and to say, okay, cool, now what? How do you communicate? How do you travel? How do you go somewhere if you can't travel? Technology. Time to pivot. I was always sort of against it, not against it in principle, but against it for me. I was not into it. It was not my thing. Guess what? You got to make it your thing. You got to have it. You got to own it. You got to make it a part of you because the world changed, because the world is different and you have to change. So there, a huge amount of focus had to go to a different place. At the same time, I didn't change to be a social media marketer, okay? At that point. I don't know what future will come, what I'll do, but I'm saying that's not my passion. My passion is real estate. So I took the passion for real estate and I simply implemented that into the world of technology, into the world of podcasting, into the world of shows, into handling social media in a way that I've never knew I wanted to. Or can, but the reality showed that I had to, and it's done. That's it, and I'm in it. I'm a part of that world. I'm a part of the world of giving podcasts, selling courses, doing mentoring, doing coaching, all that stuff within the commercial real estate arena. And That is just an example. There's one example. I'm not the only one. I heard it from so many other people that have done that. But we have learned that it's a requirement today. If you can't pivot, if you can't move yourself in a way that you say, I can actually take where I am and change it a little bit and shift things around so I can actually continue survive. I can have my family survive. I can move on and do things that will bring me back into the business, right? In a certain way. You can have equity all you want. You can have equities in many projects, in many properties. But if the movement is changing, you should also change. You should also do something that will provide, which will actually build your business in different ways that will give you more resilience. The PropTech scene has all kind of changes going on there. Some of the things resolve are solving the problems, or for the real estate arena. Some of the things are not. Some of the things will take years. Some of the things will not be implemented anytime soon. But the bottom line is, and everyone who is in the tech and real estate arena combined, PropTech is saying that the company, the corporation, that will not be open to implement technologies is going to stay behind. Not in a year, not in two, but eventually it's going to stay behind. You have to, you know what, I saw Margin Call, you know, I love that movie, Margin Call, with, what's his face, Kevin Spacey and Jeremy Irons. Love that movie. And there's that scene with where all the partners are coming together, right? They're coming together and they're sitting together around the table. They have like a few meetings, the first meeting, the second meeting, the whatever. And then comes that meeting with all the major partners. And Jeremy Irons is playing that key, like big CEO, big owner, whatever he is, of that big investment bank. And he's sitting at the top of the table, right? The head of the table. You know, he's asking this analyst, what is the nature of the problem? If you guys didn't watch that movie, I highly recommend it, Margin Call. And he's watching it and he's asking this analyst, okay, tell us what the nature of the problem is. And it's very funny because he tells him, say it in simple language, speak to, as if I'm a young child or a golden retriever. You guys have to see that. It's a cool scene. But the bottom line is that guy stands up and he explains about, you know, the MBS market, okay? And that is collapsing. It's like The Big Short, just in, you know, movie, just in a different type of angle, different way. And they have to sell all their positions. And there's a big argument of how they can sell and when they should sell. Again, you should watch it. And then Jeremy Irons, who's the big honcho, he stands up and he says to the analyst, do you know what my job here is? So he says, okay, what is it? So he says, all I have to do here is to predict if the music is going to stop in a day, a week, a month, a year. Exactly, that's what he says. That's what I have to predict. That's all. That's all I have to know. I don't have to know anything else. That's my job, he says to him. That is really cool. Because as business owners or business or entrepreneurs or corporation or CEOs, call it whatever you want. The job is to know when or where the market will go, or to predict where the market will go a day, a week, a month, a year. That's our job. That's where we have to see. And if you're too focused on the today and the now, you're going to lose your business. You're going to lose your business. You're going to lose your deal. You're going to lose your business. You're going to lose where the market is going. So at the same time of taking care of what's now and immediate, we should definitely get to the point of any business should be able to fire yourself and put other people who will take care of the now and today and the tomorrow, and the CEO and the owner and the ownership, definitely the ownership, should be the visionary in seeing where am I going with this, what's going to happen within a day, not a day, it's more like a month and a year, etc. That is our job. We have to see what's coming. We have to see what's not coming. So over-focus is not great. Focus is good. Defocus is not good. But the ability to be in the focus and also have some sight. We're not horses. We're not going that way. We have to know what's going on around us. We can't just be in our, on one track without being aware of anything that goes on around us. And with that, guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to see you next time. Take care. Hey, guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.